अध्यक्ष जी और दोस्तों, कम से कम मैं मानता हूँ 7-8 घंटे को इस प्रस्ताव पर बहस आपके सामने हुई और कई कर्मियों हमारे सामने आई हैं, इसके बारे में कुछ कहना होगा, लेकिन मेरे लिए मुश्किल होगा कि हर एक कर्मीन का मैं कुछ यहाँ जिक्र करूँ और जवाब दूँ। लेकिन मैं आपसे इजाजत चाहता हूँ कि इसके बारे में मुझे जो कुछ कहना है तो मैं कुछ अंग्रेजी में कह दूँ, क्योंकि कई बातें ऐसी है कि मैं कुछ भूल न कर दूँ, कुछ गलत शब्द गलत गवर्नमेंट के पॉलिसी पर। आई एम नॉट गोइंग टू मेंशन दी ऑल दी अमेंडमेंट, बट आई कैन टेल यू दैट नियरली 60% हैव चेंज द अमेंडमेंट एंड अमेंडमेंट व्हेन आई काउंटेड देम दे वर नियरली 125 at least those amendments which are with me. So it is physically impossible to go into the merits and demerits of the amendments as such. So I have carefully considered each amendment for myself. Amendments can be distributed according to subject wise. I find that there are some amendments which are verbal amendments. There are some amendments which have conveyed certain ideas about the regulation. There are some amendments which have criticized the approach of the regulation. There are some amendments which have raised incidental problems about the issues that are raised in the problem. For example, I can mention that when we were discussing the question of employment in the regulation, our veteran leader, Sri Ajit Prasad Ji Jain, has made an amendment recommending that we should have a definition of unemployment aspect. He is right there. Because the same concept goes at the very basic process of planning. If we have got a wrong definition of unemployment, it goes with reflection to the size of the unemployment that we are really speaking about. I think there are certainly some debate also going on in the scope of the present moment about the present statistics available about the unemployment in the country. So the problem by itself is a very important problem, but I don't think it can be considered in the light of the discussion of the subject that are mentioning the regulation itself. So when I would say ultimately that I won't be able to accept the amendment of the subject that I am doing, it does not mean that I am rejecting on the merit of it, but because those are important subject by itself, it cannot be considered in connection with this regulation. Now, I will take the question of unemployment we are dealing with it. There are some amendments which say that this ₹100 that they have indicated is something very paltry from. Even the last member who spoke very vehemently and emotionally about the subject, I share his sentiment. There are some amendments from some members who have suggested that the amount to be given should be about 125, some have suggested 150, some have suggested 200. If I were to hear one amendment, I would move to about 1,000 rupees. And within the question I'm merely mentioning now, let us try to understand we are not fixing up any standard minimum as a wage, not at all. That is not the idea. We have accepted the principle that every person will have the right to get the minimum wage. So these are all principles. Now we have to start acting. Really speaking, what we have at the present moment trying to do is to take a first step in the most important question of fundamental rights, the right to work. There are millions of people who really speaking haven't given the fundamental right of work, but there is no opportunity for them to work. Maybe we can at least begin with this one program, one project, that in the rural areas we can go and select certain poverty stricken areas and at least provide the employment of 100 rupees to families where there is no earning member at the present moment. So this is where we have to look at the problem a little more pragmatically. Of course, connected with this also another amendment moved by my friend C.K. Somani. It's a very important thought that he has conveyed in that amendment. He says at least it's because you want to do it, wait for the scheduled caste and scheduled tribe. That is his amendment. I would like to tell you that I share his point. An idea in this matter when we select the power to stricken areas, I am sure The families where there is no army member, most of the families will be civil class and civil class will become there. I know that about Indiana. If you really go objectively to threatened areas, and even in the threatened areas, if you want to go by the standard of life or the criteria that you have laid down, that those people must have the priorities, in whose family there is no army member, I have no doubt in my mind that the civil class and civil class will get their priority in this matter. Therefore, I would request him that not to insist on his amendment as well. So there are other points about unemployment, and though everybody, first of all, let me make one statement, that though there are many amendments and many suggestions made, I have not heard a single speech which has opposed the basic approach that is laid down in this resolution as far as the political strategy is concerned and as far as economic program is concerned. Therefore, the extent of the resolution has been unanimously accepted, I have no doubt about that. That one thing is there. But naturally, some people have tried to improve it. They have tried to give some more suggestions, and they are welcome as far as they go. Now, for example, the question of land reforms are pretty in detail considered. A very good debate, I must say, taken place on the question of land reforms as well. Very interesting news were spoke, very objective suggestions were made. Therefore, I don't want to go into the details of it. But this debate certainly has shown us some new ideas and shown some of the deficiencies in the implementation of the land reform, no doubt about it. I'm sure the administrators, particularly those who are in charge of the land problems in the state, will take note of some of the suggestions that are made here. Particularly, Mohan Daria has made an amendment. His point is that what should be the scientific criteria for the landfill? It's a good point. When it is put like that, it is a good point. Now, he has suggested two criteria. One is the productivity of the soil, and the other is the availability of the water. These are the two criteria that are suggested. I can tell you that from my own personal experience, because at some time I was also in charge of implementing this land reform legislative measures in our own state. I can say that state has done something substantial. It may not be to the satisfaction of everybody, but certainly it has done something in that state. And I would like to tell you that while the selling were fixed in different regions, this very criteria was taken into consideration. Ultimately, when the resolution itself says that seed varies from region to region and state to state, and that variation is with regard to the quality of the soil, so regard again, the availability of water is a rainfall. For example, we have taken the rainfall. Now, about the availability of water, if India has such a variation as possibly the entire world has variation. There are areas, Rajasthan areas like Rajasthan, and there are heavy rainfall areas like Cherrapunji and Assam also. Even in one district, I can tell you, I can cite an experience of my own district. I come from a district called Sitara in Maharashtra. It ranges from a western Ghat to the middle of state of Uttarakhand. In the western part, we get about 400 inches of rain. And to the eastern part, which is a part, most major part of my own constituency, I can tell you on your behalf, that we get maximum rain of 7 inches. So it varies from 7 inches to 400 inches. In one district. So really speaking, these things happen. Now, as far as the availability for irrigation is concerned, you can compare Bihar, UP and Punjab, Haryana with other rural collectors. I mean, there is infinite capacity of providing irrigation in the state of Bihar, for example, at least in North Bihar, I think, even in South Bihar as well. The same thing about UP. The percentage can grow up. It depends upon your capacity to invest money in the irrigation project. So also in case of Punjab, Haryana, and perhaps Rajasthan, because the availability of big water potential in the form of Gandaks and Kosis and Gangas and so on. But there are states where the maximum possibility of reaching the irrigation capacity is very limited. I can give again the experience, because one can give examples of experience of one way. In my state, for example, if we invest about 3-4 thousand crores of rupees and try to use every drop of rainwater that we get or the river water we get, the maximum irrigation that will reach about 30%. I am rather liberal in using 30%. So there are areas where are bound to be 70% areas in Nashik, for example, they are going to be unirrigated. You have to look to the different type of irrigation, well irrigation or other type of irrigation. Therefore, the availability of water is a good scientific criteria to mention in a speech or in a document. When you have to implement it, you have to get to go into hundreds of many other detailed matters and then come. Therefore, the idea is very good in itself. It is not very possible or easy or wise to put in a resolution like this. I can say that we have accepted this principle, and while fixing up the point that you have made is appropriate, and I appreciate that point. Therefore, I am sure all the states who genuinely and objectively want to implement this resolution will have to go into the scientific area and decide the solution, because his main point is that no manipulation should be made to raise the salinity of the land. That is the main point. I personally would consider the main consideration of the salinity should be to make as much as land possible, to make it available for those who want to cultivate land and who are landless. That should be the political and social objective of land salinity. This is my personal approach to the problem. Also, then there are I was talking about the land filling, the problem about the land filling. You see, everything that is political and social good has to be good economy. I know that about it. You see, when you think about economics, I mean, there are some people who are criticizing the question of land filling. Yesterday, Prime Minister also mentioned that. Ultimately, economic holding is a changing concept. 10 years before, when there was no possibility of irrigation, there was no possibility of modern techniques of agriculture, no modern inputs were possible, even 100 acres were not economic holding. So today, with all these modern facilities available, even 3 acres can be an economic holding. So economic holding is not something a static concept. It changes with the help of many other factors. So therefore, let us not get misguided about this idea of economic holding. Certainly, the capacity of productivity in some Zahri also has said this point. He has said the productivity also is a criteria to be taken into consideration while putting this study. So nobody has forgotten the economic aspect of it. Now, sir, there are many other ideas also mentioned about this land reforms problem, but I don't want to go into them, though all the members who have made any suggestions about the land reforms. At the land filling, I'm sure while guiding the state government or the state government while considering their problems, they will look into the suggestions made by the members of amendments. Now, there is, as along with the land reform problem, we have mentioned the question of the urban filling. And a very valid criticism was made that we have merely mentioned the question, but Mr. Chauhan, while moving the resolution, has not explained what is your idea about the urban selling bill. You have mentioned certain moral bill that we have circulated. So naturally, in a speech like this, I can't give the gist of the entire bill. Because when a new act on such a problem is framed, it is so full of complicated possibilities. But I think I only one. I must explain to you what is the basic idea around which the whole idea of this bill is being worked out. I think I owe you that explanation. The main idea is that a family holding any urban property in urban areas should have certain things. The idea is, the thinking in the idea which is indicated, though the actual amount is not mentioned in the model bill, but every family of 5 persons should have a minimum income in the urban, a property value of certain amount should be filling the property. The thinking that as we discussed in ourselves, idea is that in a metropolitan city like Bombay,
The maximum property that a family should own should not be more than 5 lakh rupees. That is the idea. But property which is valuable of 5 lakhs in Bombay, if you accept to take the same principle of 5 lakhs in a small place like 10,000 population or 20,000 population, it is to be something more than that. So this would have to be, varied according to the quality, the size of the area and the property values in those areas as well. So this is the principle. Now what do you do about the property that is in excess of the ceiling? The approach in the bill is that above that ceiling, the property, whatever the property that is belonging to the family or individual, they will have to submit a sort of a statement of this property to the competent authority. And after those statements are received, the property which is in excess of the ceiling property will not be allowed to mortgage, sale, or anything to be any form of that. Idea is to stop the speculation in the prices. And the property which is in excess, will according to the convenience of the government and the availability of resources, can be acquired according to the legal condition. This is really speaking the basic approach in the bill. Naturally, the bill also mentions certain exemptions, like religious trust. There are certainly some government properties or properties belonging to public enterprise, which are certainly functional, the function work as well. A certain factory is there. A factory which is working as a factory, you cannot have a sort of a selling on that sort of a thing. So these are the matters of details. I don't want to go into that. But certainly I have certain information, mentioned the basic principle around which, or on the basis of which, the entire bill is worked out, I have indicated. Sir, this is about, I can't mention about the year because, as you know, the constitutional position in this matter is the only thing, the bill which can be passed is by the state government. In this matter, the law-making authority is the state government. Central government can pass a law if the state government passes a resolution in the legislature to that effect. You know, I only thought that they do it in 1970. But our idea is, naturally, we have to ask our, as was mentioned yesterday, I think the chief ministers, this government of India will have to invite all the chief ministers and discuss this aspect in all its details and nuanced implications, etc. For now, political amendments. There are some political amendments which have tried to improve the resolution. But there are one or two very specific amendments suggested by my friend Bhagwat Ji Azad. Bhagwat Ji Azad has made 2 points that he has suggested. Why is it that we are not talking in terms of left consolidation and make an appeal to them to come and work with us? So this is all right as far as it goes. And I think our attitude is very clear on this point. In the Delhi resolution, if you remember the Delhi resolution, in the last paragraph of that resolution, if I remember right, there is a specific mention to this question that we have made appeal to all the progressive forces to join in reconstructing and restructuring the society on the social basis. This was an appeal. And that appeal stands. That appeal was supported by the Congress president issuing, I think, once or twice he made a mention about it. I think Prime Minister in her own speeches also many times indicated this line. So what do you want to go beyond this? I don't think it is necessary now to mention anything about this matter in this resolution. As far as this resolution goes, it is much better. But as far as our attitude is concerned, we have given many indications to that our attitude, and that attitude will continue to remain. I have no doubt about it in my mind. The other question that he has mentioned was about the nationalization of general insurance. And in his amendment, he has said that this is one of the must.
I would like to repeat with him that we have also accepted that this is also one of the must. But when it is to be done and what time it is to be done, I think these are the matters you will have kindly to agree to leave it to the judgment of the government of India. I do not want have, because as far as the Congress program is concerned, Congress program has accepted it more than once. And it is a specific thing mentioned in the resolution of Bombay, which is really speaking the mandate for us. Sir, certain members made some mention about minorities. The question of minorities, particularly, I remember hearing one speech of one young man here. So he said that, are we in a mood to forget those people who have sacrificed for the national cause? See, he mentioned, for example, the nationalist Muslims. Those who have stood with the Congress from the very beginning of the last, are we going to forget them? Not at all. But we will not forget them, not because they are nationalist Muslims, but they are Indians who are standing by the cause of secularism, democracy and socialism. But at the same time, we cannot take a rather academic view and say that for anything, we'll forget the masses of Muslims. You see, we have always to think in practical terms to have a sort of organic relationship with the masses, whether they are Christians, Muslims, Hindus, or any other religion. And therefore, the approach is to ultimately get involved the masses of minorities in our socialistic program, and for that matter, we'll have to take certain steps in this matter. Therefore, the idea is not to forget about them. We have certainly made certain reference to the cause of minorities and the communalism in the religion itself. We are not forgotten that issue. As far as we are concerned, I think we are made, it is not necessary for us to make it clear again and again, but as far as the question of communalism is concerned and communal party are concerned, there is no question of compromising ourselves with any communal party. Yes, there is no doubt about it. Some members made some mention to prices also. Some members did make a mention of prices. Tony Sadar Khan has certainly made some mention about it. He has also made many mistakes. There is another name by many other members. I don't want to start the game on mentioning the names because somebody will feel that his suggestions are not made. As regards the land reforms, another suggestion that was made by my friend Krishna Kant. His suggestion is that waste cultivable land should really be whichever is resting in government should be distributed immediately. I agree with this suggestion. So also mentioned about the railway land and the canal land. About railway land, I made discussions with Mr. our colleague senior colleague Ganga ji, and he has told me that even today it is a policy of government to make the land available for cultivation. His idea is that the preference should be given to some of the railway workers themselves who work as a casual labor on the railway line. If they can make use of the land, certainly it is available for their. But naturally, he has agreed to look into it, how to effectively implement that part of it. And subject to your approval, I am taking one clause in the resolution itself to say that the waste available, cultivable wasteland, which waste in government, will be distributed to the landless before the end of 71. To that effect, I am getting the amendment there. I have not exactly found the place where it should be placed now. That we'll be doing it, but if you approve, well, that will be taken note of. But I don't think it's necessary to put in the your own system. No, we will not. You see, as a principle, we are against forcible occupation of anything. I mean, that is really saying our basic approach of this party, which was explained yesterday by many other leaders in your speeches. Sir, I was mentioning about the prices. Some said, particularly Yashji from Punjab said, that I have mentioned about this research circle,
but I have not shown the way to break it. So vicious circle is such a thing that it is very difficult to say that this few pages, one statement, the whole vicious circle will break. Because prices is a result, rise of prices results from many unhealthy trends in the economy. And I have suggested one more way, that in order to realistically stabilize the prices, we will have to have a definite, well-coordinated, integrated policy of wealth and income. Unless we have it, it is very difficult to say that we have a final answer for the stabilization of prices. Friends, I don't think I should take more time in this matter, because when I say the policy of income, it means filling an illegal income. Unless when I say the word of policy of income, it means that you must have some ideas about the income of the individuals as such. I thought you understood those, therefore I didn't go into the details. So I don't want to take more of your time because you are already tired. I have tried to touch very important aspects of the resolution, and subject to one amendment to which I made a mention, I hope the bill will be accepted unanimously.